O Saint Joseph, you are the foster father of the child Jesus, who cannot deny you anything you request. You are the most chaste spouse of the Blessed Virgin Mary, whom you protected from all harm. O terror of demons and conqueror of hell, pray for us, for those who are suffering in the throes of agony of their final death, and for those who will die this day. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, it is very good that we are here today in Duran once again. It's good to have the church full and in use again, because we use it far too infrequently. This church in Duran is one of the real jewels of the Archdiocese, and it's used far too infrequently. We need to find more reasons to put it to use, to bring more people to experience the beauty of the faith, which has been celebrated here within this church. Nigh 100 years. We're going to celebrate that in just a couple months. But some of us have known this place a little better of late, have we not? We've been here recently, like in the past 3 days. We were here 3 days ago because we were burying our dear Auntie Lenore, our Auntie Noni. We were laying her to rest just a couple days ago. And she was one of us, wasn't she? She was una socia de las socias, de la Sociedad de Nuestra Señora de Carmen, which is the same name as her sister was given, her only living sister. She's one of us, and we're very close to that family. We continue with our prayers for them and for her soul as well, that she may be received by God Most High. But as a community, we've experienced loss a lot lately, haven't we? We've had a lot of death, especially over the past couple weeks. You know, I've buried 6 people in the past couple weeks, laid 6 to rest, including our own Gilbert Tenorio, our own Henry Enrique from Encino. And, you know, in just 2 weeks from today, we will bury Mayor Gordy from Encino. We've experienced a lot of death today. But in light of these recent events, I think that's something that we should ponder on, even today. To ponder death, to think about finality and, yes, eternity. Many of you, I'm sure almost all of you, I recognize almost all your faces, you've been to my funerals before. You know what it is that we speak about at these times. So you know that we are very much connected to those who have passed on, who have died in the love of Christ. And that love carries with it responsibilities. Ours being to continue to pray for them, that their soul may be released from purgatory, where they can pray for us, but they can do nothing at all whatsoever for themselves. They rely upon our prayers. And the only thing which can separate us from the love of Christ, the only thing which can separate us from our loved ones who have died in the love of Christ, really is just that which breaks all love itself, mortal sin. The only certain remedy for which is sacramental confession. We know this. We know all these things, right? Our societies, which we come together today for, are founded upon these same notions of defending the one holy Catholic and apostolic faith, which is a source of our joy, the reason for our being Christians and for knowing Christ. And this is how we live, is it not? Well, it better be. Because eternity hangs in the balance, either with God or without God, based upon our enacting and our living out of this beautiful faith which we have. You know, does anybody know what any of the titles of St. Joseph are? Do you? If you do, shout them out. Let me know. What are some of the titles that we have for St. Joseph? Some of the beautiful, beautiful titles that we have for our great patron. You don't have to be sheepish. I want to know. I want to know which ones that you're closest to.
Patron saint of the Holy Family?
Saint of the Holy Family. Patron of the Holy Family, that's right.
Saint Joseph the Worker.
Saint Joseph, patron of workers and laborers, yes. Any more? There's tons of them. We've got a whole litany.
Father of Jesus.
Foster father of Jesus. He's called the mirror of patience, isn't he? A lover of poverty. He's Joseph the just, Joseph most valiant, Joseph most faithful. We even call him the pillar of families, patron of fathers. You know what my favorite title of St. Joseph is? I like it in Latin better. It always sounds better in Latin. Tericula demoniae, which means terror of demons. I love that one. It just gets me excited every time I hear it. St. Joseph is my patron, and he beats the snot out of every demon that tries to come his way. They don't like to be around him, and that's why he's my patron. But when we think about these great titles which he have, the one that I wish to dwell upon most today is one that's going to help us out a lot, I think. And that is his title being connected to patron of the dying, patron of a happy death. Because we've been dealing with death, I think that's something that we need to dive into more deeply today. How did he get this title? Was he some sort of great priestly figure who was always rushing to the sides of those who were ill to give them the anointing of the sick? Or is he patron of those who want a happy death because he was always there at their side, quick with his wit, to be able to give them some chistes to sort of laugh and to die with a smile on their face, with a grin? Is that what St. Joseph did? Of course not. Of course not. St. Joseph wasn't ordained a priest by Jesus Christ, his son. He didn't have that. The sacrament of the anointing of the sick wasn't there. And St. Joseph isn't known for his uproarious laughter and for the jokes which he told. No, St. Joseph has this for a different reason. Because what a happy death is about is not about the grin which is on our faces. That's not a happy death. A happy death is not that which is given from a belly full of jelly that just keeps reverberating all throughout until you finally pass. That's not what it's about. What is a happy death about? A happy death, really what it should be translated into, is happy as blessed. Blessed. And that has nothing to do with those surface emotions which you and I experience, which come and go with the passing of time and seasons, the events of our lives. Rather, blessedness, what it is about the final destination of one's soul. And so, because of that, if our death, brothers and sisters, is a movement toward God, then our death is a blessed death. No matter what cries are being emitted from us in the moment, no matter what pains we're experiencing, no matter what violence is coursing through our bodies or those putrid smells which are so associated with death, so long as it is a movement toward God, the lover of our soul, that is a blessed death, no matter what is going out on the surface. So why is St. Joseph then the patron of a blessed death? Principally, there are three reasons. Principally, three reasons why our belief that Joseph has a special patronage of those who are dying. The first one is that he's the foster father of he who is the eternal judge. You know, Jesus cannot refuse St. Joseph any worthy request. You know, can you or I resist our fathers any request that they give us? Of course we can. Of course we can, because none of us is perfect. Jesus is the only one who perfectly obeys the commandments, especially the fourth commandment. What's that fourth commandment? I heard it mumbled. You got to say things louder. Honor thy father and thy mother. That's right. That is one which he holds. Jesus lives out the full of the commandments. And so he honors his father and his mother, his foster father as well, St. Joseph, honors his requests. And so just as St. Joseph refused Jesus nothing good in this life, Jesus refuses St. Joseph, his foster father, nothing. In this way, St. Joseph is able to plead our cause before the righteous judge and to prevail for our case, to get the graces that you and I need to amend our lives, even at the very final moment of death, which is the most important moment of our life, the moment where that decision is made either for God eternally or away from God eternally. That is our greatest moment, our most important hour. Now, that's the first reason, because he's the foster father of the eternal judge. But the second reason is because my favorite title, remember that, terror of demons. Because the demons are afraid of him. The church calls him the terror of demons, but it also calls him the very conqueror of hell. Why? This is because he's the protector of the Holy Family, as you were mentioning back there. He's the protector of the Holy Family. He always has an open ear to God. And his open ear stopped Satan's attempt to kill Jesus as a babe. Remember that? When Herod was pursuing him and ended up massacring all the innocent children in order to destroy Jesus. St. Joseph listened to God, listened to the angel, took his family and left. You know, today Satan still tries to attack our families and destroy the life of our little children. Does this most prominently through the evil of abortion. And what we have to do is we have to pray, especially for those who have gone through this evil procedure, that their souls may be purified, that God's mercy would be upon them, that they would see that they themselves are loved by God, and that this evil may not be a part of our society ever again, anywhere within the world. We pray for this through the intercession of St. Joseph, who is the protector of all families. But also, another reason why demons fear St. Joseph is because of his firm stance with the issue of chastity. You know, St. Joseph, not once in his entire life, ever gave in to a single lustful movement, gaze, or act. In fact, the teachings of the church is very clear. The church believes that St. Joseph never had any personal sin throughout his entire life. You know, Jesus is God and sinless, conceived without sin. The Blessed Virgin Mary has that Immaculate Conception. She never had the fall of Adam to her, the fall of Eve. St. Joseph did have that, but yet he still never sinned. He never committed any of this. But in addition to that, he took his life a step further. You know, he had a right to have relations with his wife, the Blessed Virgin Mary, did he not? Yeah, we call those the marital rights, right? He had a perfectly good reason to pursue that, yet with the Blessed Virgin Mary, he didn't do that. He didn't partake in his rights. But rather what he did was he chastely defended her purity always, even though she was the most beautiful woman ever conceived by God, outwardly and inwardly, most desirable of all. Do we not call the Blessed Virgin Mary God's own dream girl? Because he was the product of God's own imagination. You see, the devil, what he does is he hates desperately all chastity. And that is one of his best tactics to try to destroy souls, especially the souls of men, to be able to bring them down and prevent them from being the fathers, the husbands, the sons that he's called them to be. So when one has unassailable chastity and purity, what happens is that the demons run from this because they know that they can have nothing to do with him. And that they can actually be destroyed by one so chaste, so pure, so loving. In this way, St. Joseph can scare the demons that try to put doubts and temptations before us at our final hour in life. Because when they see his purity, his chastity, his love for God, they take flight. Because they cannot be around something so pure, so holy. And he can keep them at bay so that we can remain stalwart in our love for Christ to the very end. That's why we need St. Joseph at our hour of death. But the third reason, brothers and sisters, the third reason was because St. Joseph's own death was the most beautiful death imaginable. For he died within the very arms of Jesus and the Blessed Virgin Mary. How could death be any more beautiful than that? This is the principal reason why St. Joseph is the patron of a happy death. Because death, the death of no other saint, no other human being has ever been so happy or so glorious. You know, just imagine that for a moment. Imagine it. You are there on your deathbed from exhaustion, simple exhaustion, or maybe a painful cancer, whatever it is. See yourself within that deathbed. And then you look over to your right. And you see there who? But your perfectly devoted spouse. The one who not only is the most beautiful being ever in existence and the love of your life, but God's own perfection of woman, right there at your side, gloriously caring after your every need, interceding for you. One whom you can actually touch with your own hands and embrace and share that beautiful love. And then you turn over to your left side, and you could see there, just as clear as day, the shining face of your most beloved son, your firstborn, for whom you have given everything in your life, and who has never left your side or disobeyed you in the slightest, because he loves you and is devoted to you, comforting you each step of the way. He also happens to be the very source of your salvation, your God, your Lord, ceaselessly consoling you with divine love, with the Blessed Virgin Mary at his right, and Jesus Christ, his Lord and Savior, at his left. How could it be more blessed than that? You know how St. Joseph died, brothers and sisters? St. Francis de Sales and St. Alphonsus de Liguori say that St. Joseph experienced the most blessed death because he died of love for God. So it was the very love of God, the desire to be with God, that grew and grew within his breast throughout the entirety of his life, that finally became too great for his mortal body to hold on to his soul. And so it was released from his body, shot surely to God. That is a blessed death. And he can intercede for us such that we can have the same sort of death as did he have. Dying not merely because a cancer attacks our bodies, but because love for life cannot compare to the glories which God has in store for those who love him. That's how St. Joseph died. So brothers and sisters, my beloved socios and socias, you're my Durand family. How beautiful is it that our patron St. Joseph is the patron of the dying, one whose foster fatherhood gains for us a powerful intercessory power with Christ through his intercession. One whose sinless and chaste life amidst the greatest temptation strikes terror in the heart of every demon that we could ever face within our lives. One whose own blessed death at the side of Jesus and Mary gains for him the know-how to lead our souls to the fullness of consolation and to be able to die like he died, with the love of God bursting from our breasts. So we turn to St. Joseph. And I invite you to pray with me that prayer which you picked up as you came in to the church, that prayer to St. Joseph for the agonizer. So we pray. O St. Joseph, protector of those in agony, take pity on those who at this very moment, when I pray to thee, are engaged in their last combat. O blessed Joseph, take pity on my soul too, when the hour of the final battle shall arrive for me. Then, O my holy patron, do not abandon me, but grant me thine assistance. Show that thou art my good father, and obtain that my divine Savior may receive me with mercy into thy abode, where the elect enjoy a life that shall never end. Amen.